to be. Routine exercise, playing ball outside with the kids, riding bikes on vacation. I never worried about keeping up. But now, my joint pain has started slowing me down. I decided to make an appointment with the orthopedic clinic. Their surgical partners had the experience, technology, and personalized approach to care that I was looking for. Best of all, it was close to home. I'm thankful I chose the orthopedic clinic. Don't let joint pain slow you down. Visit theorthoclinic.com and schedule your
appointment. W294 AR Auburn, WGCC HD3 Waverly,
Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7, a broadcast service of Auburn Network Incorporated. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into The Drive. It is the Tuesday edition. And folks, this is a winter day. This is what I think of when I think of winters in Auburn. Wet and cold. But we are comfy. We're just getting underway. Hope everybody is being careful and safe. If you don't have to be out and about too much, I wouldn't encourage it. Not that the roads are slick or anything, but it's just nasty. It's just nasty to be out in this weather. But welcome in to the Tuesday edition of The Drive. We got all kinds of, what are you, missing headphones or something?
I'll be back.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Dan's not quite ready yet. As we're here in the Wow Business Studio, I'm going to save that for him in a couple of minutes. Hour number one of The Drive is brought to you by Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And they also bring you our hotline, the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390. So we welcome your calls, questions, comments. Little reminder of change in the normal Tuesday schedule is Barrett Salee, who usually joins us at around the bottom of the hour, is unavailable today. I love it how people sometimes say, he's on assignment. No, he's not. He's on vacation. He's in Telluride skiing today. So good for Barrett. But we're here with you, and we're going to talk a good bit of basketball, but anything on your mind sports-wise as we're just underway. Dan, I'm making it. You okay, big guy?
Yeah, no, I'm good to go. We're here in the WOW Business Studio. You can get 2 months free on super fast business internet when you switch to WOW. Details at switchtowowbusiness.com. I would like to say to whoever at Auburn Network took the personal iPhone charger that I keep back here and walked off with it, I'm going to find you, and it's gonna be a disaster. Here's the thing. I'll give you till the end of this show to bring the charger back to the studio. And if it's not here when the show's over, there's gonna be trouble. So I'm gonna give till the end of the show to let whoever accidentally left the studio with my iPhone charger. I'm not gonna name names. It's gonna be totally professional.
Drew, I told you not to do that.
Until the show's over. Hellfire and brimstone tomorrow. So you know, we'll see.
Folks, if we'd only had a camera in here, you would have seen, that is the fastest I have ever seen Dan Peck move.
What are you talking about?
He came in, I mean, took one quick look.
Who had it?
Took name one names. Quick look at his spot and bolted as bolt it? As Dan can what? Out what? The door.
Who moved it? oh, the intern? Yeah, well,
he was just.
I would say Doc is pay, but it's an
he's
intern.
He's an intern. Yeah. That's right. So there we go, man. We're off to a pretty exciting start.
Tracy, tell me
that's as much excitement as we've had at the start of a show in a long time.
Yeah, never again. Okay, that's what you tell them. Thanks.
You know what they're gonna say? Don't leave your things here, man. They could disappear. You know, I could tell you stories.
No, I have no
of
problem.
Headphones.
No, I leave it here because I'm fine with the people sitting here having the ability to charge their iPhone when they take it with them. then we've got a situation because right. I'm not gonna look, it's fine, I'm good to go.
Right,
Lance,
down, yeah.
Lance, you're on notice, but we can continue.
Well, you can. I guess maybe you could put in something regarding his grade.
No, I mean, look, I like Lance, and I'm glad that he wised up and handed it back over.
All right, we're just underway, and wow, it's an all-star start to the show.
Yeah, how about this?
Yeah, well let's welcome in. We have a visiting. Now, let's see. I'm not going to say dignitary.
It ain't that.
And I will
say celebrity. No, it ain't that
well,
either.
No, yeah, man. We're in Auburn. What are you talking about?
where everybody's a celebrity.
That's right. If you know, just think of yourself as such, and you are. And
Bill, could you get a new picture of Dan on the wall because that one ain't doing him justice?
Well, I know, and the one of me.
No, you look the same now as you did 25 years ago.
Well, the problem is that was before I went on the weight loss program. But the thing is, I've gained half of it back.
I was going to say, but Peck looks like he's 16 in the picture.
Yeah. And now he's Grizzly Adams.
I was going to say, you know, you don't look yourself, Dan. And you and I were used to being near each other a couple times a week.
Not anymore, though.
We're so far away.
I actually think that's part of the reason why I've decided to not cut my hair or shave is because, like,
you're so far away from everyone.
Exactly. I mean, before Troy would have to take me places, right? And I'd have to, you know, I'd have to go as a representative of Troy University and as the broadcast team. Now, I mean, I'm the Phantom of Trojan Arena. They got me in the, you know, they got me in the rafters somewhere, tucked away. And this was before the beard and the
oh,
long
okay.
hair.
I was going to say perhaps
it was not reactionary.
Shaved,
it was not.
Haircut,
it was not reactionary.
Literally, Bill, it's the first time I've ever had to broadcast a game with binoculars, basketball game. I mean, you're so far from the floor. You and I broadcast a Troy basketball game together. You probably don't remember.
No, I
Ralph
do.
Black right. had you and me come and broadcast Troy versus Faulkner at Sartain Hall. Back in like the 80s.
That was going to be 87 or 8.
I don't know, but it was maybe a long
eight,
time
maybe 88.
Ago.
The legendary Ralph Black.
Yes, oh, very much absolutely. Legendary.
Yeah, I mean, reverent.
Man, y'all's
terms.
Digs are awesome.
Right? The studio's not bad.
No kidding. How long have y'all been in these here parts?
It's been a few years now.
Yes. Was it early 17? Was it early in 17 we moved
I'm thinking,
in?
Yeah, I'm thinking that sounds right.
This is beautiful.
I'm thinking that's right. This is Doug Amos, folks. We haven't really introduced him. Over from the river region, where he is the host of the Max Roundtable.
I am.
Doug and I have known each other for quite a while.
We got stories, Dan.
From before his days in radio.
That's right. That's right. I was a sports writer first and spent many a day here in Auburn covering Pat Dye's 80s teams and then got into radio early 90s. Bill hired me, as a matter of fact, for my first radio job back in 93, and I've never left. I worked for a decade with the late, great, still lovable Jim Fife. We still tell Jim Fife stories all the time. Some I can tell on the air, some I can't.
An awful lot that we can't, but we'll never run out of them.
You never will. It's so funny, Bill and Dan. We have Quentin Riggins on a lot, and obviously he and Charlie Trotman are very close, my co-host on the Max Roundtable, one of two. And they have so many great stories of travel trips with Jim. Covering football games and stuff, and that it'll just sometimes I'll throw in, you know how sometimes we throw in little jabs that only you know what we're talking about, the listener doesn't, and Quentin like will just lose it like for 30 seconds, and the listeners are going, what was so funny about that? But it's in reference to a gym story.
Some of the tricks of the trade or some of the things that broadcasters, you never realize that broadcasters might come up against.
Exactly.
I never got to meet Jim. It was he passed away the summer I graduated from high school. And
2003.
I came to Auburn and actually like Rob's first game as the broadcaster was my first game sort of running the board for him. In the controls when I was a college.
That's
freshman.
So cool. Because if I can I stop you there for just a second because I was invited because of Jim's tragic death. We were doing a show together at the time. And, Bill, you know what the expectation was of that Auburn football team.
Absolutely.
They're extremely high in 03. And Southern Cal was the opener at Jordan-Hare. And I was invited by John Cole and the crew to sit in the booth. So I was able to sit in the booth for Rod's first call of a football game.
And I never got to meet Jim, but I've heard so many stories working with people who knew him so well that it does feel like, you know, it's that weird relationship of, yeah, never personally met him, but heard a million Jim Fife stories over the last 15, 20 years.
Bill, I want to ask you this because you probably can answer it better than anybody. My one fear I have is that because Rod was so good in replacing Jim, is that we're going to forget how great Jim was. Very rarely does a broadcast team have back-to-back good play-by-play voices. Mm. And Auburn, listen, Rod Bramblett became an absolute icon here in Auburn, but he replaced one too.
Oh, there's no doubt. And the thing is, Rod, then when he took advantage then and had the ability to make the best of the opportunities when a couple of the most incredible plays in Auburn football history ever happened. And I don't know who else could have handled those opportunities, and to follow somebody like Jim, who was the same. I mean, they both had the ability to describe ultra exciting moments that nobody could ever prepare for.
I mean, we remember Bye Bye Bo and a lot of Jim's great calls. Of course, you know this, but, you know, the touchdown Auburn thing wasn't even a thing until Bo over the top. That's when he realized how much it stuck the knife into the sides of Alabama people, and so he took it to the nth degree. But I love Jim. I've always loved Jim. We were together for a decade, thanks to you. And it was just because you were his partner there for a while, and then we flip flopped.
Yeah, I was pretty much most of 86 to 90 till up till 95.
Right, and then he and I were that when John and I went our separate ways.
I was just telling Zach the story of how that sort of thing about.
Yeah.
And we should make sure everybody knows why. I mean, Doug.
Yeah, let's do.
Doug's
welcome
to be here whenever he wants.
Sure, but it's not just like, well, in off the street.
That's
he's
right.
Driving along.
That's
and
right.
So
how did I come in to say hi?
Yeah, and we welcome visitors. Not always into the studio onto the mic, but
I understand.
No, we welcome them in. No, we're really excited to be to be partnering with Doug and Charlie and Daryl,
yeah,
the Max Roundtable, now able to be heard here on ESPN 106.7.
We're excited about it. You know, it's something that I think Max Credit Union is excited about. They're the sponsor of the show, and I think we're going to be able to have a great presence here in Auburn Opelika. Y'all are already, we're doing all we can to make sure that all of our Montgomery listeners, when they're in this area, that they're listening to ESPN 106.7. So I love partnerships. I think that's where this industry's headed, Bill and Dan, especially when you think that both our stations are family-owned. Mm-hmm. We're not corporate. We're all local, and that means we can do a lot of things without having to just to go up the stairs to ask a question instead of, you know, going six states over to ask a question.
Oh, absolutely. How long are you going to stick with
us? As long as you would like.
All right, I'll tell you what. Before we get to break, here's a familiar name to you. We'll go ahead and get to the phone. He was on the phone calling in before we introduced you, before he heard your voice.
And he's liable to hang up.
Let's bring in our good friend Shadow.
I love Shadow.
Hey, Shadow.
Well, did Doug Amos move to Auburn? I mean, what's up?
No,
the end of the world has not happened yet. You know better than that, Shadow. I mean, look, Shadow, I mean, back in the day when I first started working with Jim, people were thinking that I was the Bama guy. And, you know, at least, and maybe there was a little doubt. Well, Doug, come
on,
you know
doubt.
Better. Yeah, you know better.
Yeah, there's not much doubt.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, I've almost given up on calling the radio shows that I'm on. Because Auburn's not winning, and up here, all I hear is Nate Oates, Nate Oates, Nate Oates. You know, I can't get in there. You know, I mean, we're so busy talking about Bama winning this and Bama winning that, you know. And I know that I asked, let me see now. I think I asked Bill the other day, is it rigged? And what did you say, Bill?
Not all intentionally. I mean, okay. Yeah, I think okay. Officials at times can't help but know what's at stake or who's playing. But hey, there's no way you can avoid it, Shadow. As long as they're winning, then you can't just completely ignore it.
I want to congratulate you. You're just spreading all over the state of Alabama. What city is next?
Probably Pike County, probably Troy and down in there. There's plans for the show to go there within the next year. So we're kind of excited about that, buddy.
I've talked to some people at WTBF before.
Yeah.
You know, in my Auburn.
Absolutely.
In my Troy travels.
Quite a few.
So yeah.
As long as you can get them to answer the phone, Dan, you're good.
Here's a question for y'all. I'd like each one of you to respond. What are the chances of Bo Nix starting on the Auburn football team next year?
I'd say barring injury, very high, as about as close to 100% as I would say anybody is. Dan?
I mean, I thought earlier in the offseason, you know, when we were talking about the Oregon transfer quarterback, Tyler Shuck, who ended up going to Texas Tech, you know, I thought maybe there was the chance that Mike Bobo and Brian Harsin would consider bringing in. It's not as though this is something they absolutely have to do. But if they came to the decision that there needed to be another veteran quarterback on the team to challenge Bo Nix, it would be a significant decision by them. But you know, based on things that both of them have done previously in their careers, I don't know if it would be a shocking development. But barring, you know, somebody being brought in specifically for that purpose, I would think Bo Nix is the heavy favorite to be Auburn's starting quarterback.
And Shadow, in my opinion, you know, the one thing I think we can all agree on and lock arms with is that, quite frankly, Gus Malzahn didn't do a great job in developing quarterbacks. So I think the one reason Mike Bobo is such a great hire, in my opinion, by Brian Harsin, is he does have a history of working with really well with quarterbacks. So it's my full belief that Bo Nix will be the best Bo Nix he's been when we get to the fall, and this spring is going to be the leap board for that.
And Shadow, I'll say this. Shadow, I was at the basketball game Saturday, and I mentioned, saw Coach Harsin, and he and Bo seem to be pretty chummy.
That's good.
So I think they're getting along pretty well early on.
Did we lose any coaches because of Malzahn being hired?
Lose any coaches?
You mean Auburn coaches going to be with Malzahn in Orlando?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
He's okay. Hiring a bunch of former Auburn people.
Man, you're not kidding. And former Auburn players are heading there. Big Cat Bryant today.
Well, and if Travis Williams had been retained as Auburn linebackers coach, I think it would have been really tough to keep him from leaving to become a defensive coordinator at UCF. I don't know if there's anybody who left for that purpose.
No.
I'm going to hang up and listen, but I would like for y'all, because I have not been up to date for about the last week on anything as far as players along the offensive line. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Chad. No, there's no news there really among about anybody on the offensive line. I mean, spring ball gets underway 2 weeks from today. I've seen a few guys, you know, get mentioned for the winter workouts. But no, Kamar Bell went into the transfer portal a few weeks ago.
We mentioned yesterday. I mean, I think among, at least in the spring, one of the more interesting things to see on the offensive line is how involved Brandon Council can be coming off of a torn ACL at the beginning of November. You know, is he ready to go in really any capacity? And if not, you know, is he looming for anyone who makes gains at guard or even tackle? You know, is Brandon Council looming as a competitor for that job after the spring is over? I mean, it could be Brandon Council's absence could be an opportunity for the other for the other offensive linemen, especially guards, to get some, you know, to get some run and be able to showcase themselves to the coaches before Brandon Council is back because when he was healthy, he might have been Auburn's best offensive lineman.
Yeah, and of course, with a new offensive line coach and Will Friend, I think it's a great opportunity for everybody that's healthy and able to be out there.
Now, Brian Harsin said, what, he's got three slots? Is that correct, three or four?
Well, he hasn't said, but we've done the math. Yeah, it's three.
It's three.
Three spots.
Okay, so what are the points? What are the points of concern, the points of emphasis?
Offensive
what are they
tackle is number one.
Yeah.
I would think another running back could fit in there. And I don't know that it's necessary to get the third, because I think you like to have an extra one or two, since it's supposed to be
sure. A
really good recruiting class next year. I mean, if they find a great player regardless of position out there, they'd probably take him. But I would think offensive tackle first, maybe a running back filled in with a defensive back.
You would
back.
Think because of how much you lost last year, maybe on the surface receiver would be, but they bring back so many receivers despite losing Williams and Schwartz and Stowe.
Eight or nine receivers that will be freshmen in eligibility this year, but a lot of them have at least gotten a little bit.
And we know you got about that many in the secondary or more, right?
Oh,
12
you're loaded
or 13
in the secondary.
Or 14. So let me ask each of you this. Anybody taking advantage of the free year? Anybody coming back that maybe wouldn't have – that would have extinguished their eligibility this past year?
The guys who opted out and are coming back are Chandler Wooten and Trayvon Leonard. And
but then, even if you play,
but
you
have,
can come back.
But Grant Loy, when we were talking about quarterbacks, Grant Loy's coming back, so they've got a guy who has played some.
Sure.
Yeah, Tyron Truesdale is probably the biggest name among the seniors who are coming back for an extra senior year.
Yeah, Truesdale's the really, I mean, the one that I'd say is most surprising of the seniors who have elected to come back and play another year at Auburn, it's probably Tyron Truesdale. I mean, you had Newkirk and Big Cat Bryant, who I think people thought weren't going to play any more college football and have decided to play another year elsewhere. But for Auburn, I mean, the really significant one, not to diminish the other returning players, but I don't think anybody thought when this rule was enacted and the season started, I don't think anybody thought Tyron Truesdale was playing another year at Auburn in 2021.
Sure.
And that's big for the defensive line.
We need to get to our first break of the afternoon, just underway. And today, of course, the Final Four is continuing up in Birmingham. Tough day locally. We're going to talk with Scott Bagwell about the end of the season for both the Auburn High boys and girls. When we come back, Doug Amos with us. We'd love for you to join in on the Kia of Auburn Hotline, 334-321-1390. Come on in here on the Tuesday Drive.
334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Bill, Dan, Doug Amos will pop back in sometime. He's just sort of getting a tour of the facility here at the Auburn Network. So we're glad to have him here in studio. And we're going to check in with Scott Bagwell, but we went so long on the first segment. Are you sure we're
close? I mean, we're
like 3 minutes away.
Yeah, I don't want to cut. Yeah, well, you want to only give Scott 3 minutes? I mean, to talk about both games?
Well, no, we'll give him more. But I just I want to give him plenty of time.
Yeah, I think it's
so.
I think
we'll
it's
talk
short
to
segment.
Scott after the bottom of the hour. Tough day for the Auburn High girls and boys today, as making shots. Let's put it that way. Was difficult to do. Buckets were hard to come by today.
And it was the boys game. I mean, it looked as though. I mean, yes, it was going to be a defensive struggle it was going to be a struggle to get points for either team. But Auburn looked to early in the game, seemed to have found something, and Oak Mountain storms back.
Oh yeah, Auburn had an 8-point lead early in the second quarter. I think they scored. The problem was offense. I mean, 13 points in the first quarter, a total of 12 points in the second and third. As they fall to Oak Mountain 45-37. Meanwhile, on the girls' side, Hoover just pulling away and winning 55-36. But outstanding years for both the boys and girls.
Oh, absolutely, and an exceptional, even with some heartbreaking ends, an exceptional academic year for Auburn High School, right? I mean, when you think about
Oh, no question.
I mean, the football team making it to the championship game and now
boys and girls Final Four.
I mean, that is an athletic department that is enjoying quite a bit of success. And yes, maybe the endings aren't what folks would have necessarily wanted. I mean, but the you know, the I mean, it is tough to make it as far as Auburn has made it in all three of these sports, and all three teams deserve quite a bit of recognition for the seasons they had.
Oh, no question about it. So congratulations to them. I know it's a tough day today, but still, what an outstanding season. Speaking of basketball, Auburn, Alabama tonight at Coleman Coliseum, Alabama, a double-digit favorite as the Tide, your SEC regular season champions. They have clinched at least a share and can win it outright tonight. Auburn, on the other hand, looking to try to end the season in strong fashion. If they can beat Alabama tonight, and that's a big if, but if they beat Alabama tonight, they have a very good chance of finishing above 500, finishing the season with a three-game winning streak, and that's what Bruce Pearl was talking about with his team before they left for Tuscaloosa, about having something to remember and feel good about as they head into the offseason.
And if Alabama, I mean, I know people can wonder, you know, what is Alabama playing for now that they've locked up the regular season SEC championship? I mean,
they might be playing for a number one seed.
They absolutely could be. If Alabama did, if Alabama doesn't lose between now and Selection Sunday, they will most likely be at the very least in the mix for a one seed, and I think they got a pretty good shot at it, especially if it's them or a second Big Ten team. I think Alabama could have the inside track if they win the regular season and the conference tournament in the SEC.
All right, we need to get to our bottom of the hour break, and when we come back, we'll check in with Scott Bagwell. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
1-1-3-9-0. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Not a pleasant Tuesday. I mean, it's not awful weather. I mean, it's not storming. It's not threatening. We don't have high winds or lightning or anything. It's just cold and wet, and pretty much been that way all day. So,
supposed to be nice the rest of the week, though, right?
I believe so. Well, it's going to be a little cooler, but no, the weather looks good. Not going to have any more rain, it doesn't look like, for the rest of the week. Oh, speaking of the weather, the Auburn-Jacksonville State game today was postponed until April. So we were talking about that yesterday, that didn't look very good for it today, so they decided not to play today. But Auburn has a four-game set this weekend, playing a single game Friday, doubleheader Saturday, single game Sunday against Xavier.
Yeah, we were discussing yesterday the possibility of the Auburn baseball game being postponed because of the forecast, and yeah, not too shocking that ended up happening.
As we mentioned, a big basketball day as the Final Fours continue up in Birmingham, and a great year for Auburn High School in basketball with both the boys and girls making the Final Four. Sadly, coming to an end for both, and we're pleased to be joined by another familiar voice here on ESPN 106.7, and that's Scott Bagwell on his way back from helping out there. And a tough day for both sets of Tigers today, Scott.
Yeah. On the girls' side, they played Hoover, number one team in the state, 34-1 on the year. They're really, really good, and they're really deep. And Auburn got into some foul trouble early and just never could kind of string together some stops and really make a comeback. Lost by 19. Olivia Porter played well, just couldn't really find any other pieces to help her out. But Hoover's a great team, and they're poised to win another state championship tomorrow against Hewitt. And on the boys' side, we really thought that we were kind of in a good spot. We had a 8-point lead in the second quarter. They go on a little mini run to cut it to 4 at halftime, and then in the second half, we just couldn't buy a bucket. Got good looks, didn't get them to fall, and on top of not being able to get them to fall, Oak Mountain was able to turn defensive rebounds into transition,
right,
and get out and run and score. They went 8 of 14 in the second half on the floor, and give them credit. We kept them out of the paint in the first half, which was the game plan. second half. They were able to get out in transition, hit some open shots, take away the lead that we had built and earned, and then after they got a lead, we just kind of were always a player or two away. It felt like from being able to be back on even footing.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really difficult when you scored 13 in the first quarter and only scored 6 in each of the second and third, and there aren't many teams that are gonna be able to win a ball game shooting 21% for the second half and 24% for the ball game.
Yeah, you know, you look even deeper into the box score. How many times are you going to say you're going to lose a game if you turn the ball over 8 times or even in the rebounding take 22 more shots than the other team? But we hit the same number of shots, and they hit more free throws. And, you know, and you pointed out, you shoot poorly in the second half. And, you know, that's what it came down to. It's not really something that's been a problem all year for us. We've been able to hit shots. We've been able to get good looks, but give Oak Mountain credit. They came out in the second half. They played a zone defense and really and not what most teams do in a zone, where they packed it in. They kind of spread it out and, you know, made it difficult on us. They're long and athletic. And they're also an experienced team just like we were. They were in the Final Four last year. And at the end of the day, we just couldn't kind of hit the big shots in the second half. And, you know, we thought we came out on a 9-2 run to start the game, and we felt like we had everything where we wanted it in the first half. In the second half, we just didn't make enough plays.
Scott, you know, talking about this team, go ahead and sort of give everybody the highlights, break down this team. I mean, because what a great year it's been. I mean, very strange circumstances, obviously, with COVID that's been going on for the last year, and these kids have really battled hard and played extremely well all year long.
You know, that's led by 11 seniors. They kind of took everything by control in the summer when all the COVID practice restrictions came out. They stepped right in line and they didn't complain about it. You know, they had to practice with the mask on all year long. And you know, my heart breaks for the seniors. These are 11 really, really good guys that won back-to-back area tournament titles that hasn't been done since 2005 and 2006. And, you know, they knew that this year was an opportunity to do something special, and we did something special. You know, getting to the Final Four is tough. We obviously would have liked to win 2 more and get the second state title in program history, but this wasn't in the works for us. But no, these guys, they did great things. They didn't lose the game at home for 2 years, and weren't really challenged at home in those stretch. Only 2 games under 10 points during that run. You know, beat Opelika, I think 4 out of 6 or something like that the last 2 years, when most of these guys were on the varsity team. It's winning at Central this year, which is something that we've struggled to do. It's a great group of kids, and you saw in football, you saw it in basketball this year. You'll see it in baseball again. They're not only are they really, really talented, a really, really good group of guys, and you know, it was tough to see that run for them in tonight.
I'm talking with Scott Bagwell, who of course is sort of our correspondent when he's not calling the games for
Auburn
High. Yeah, he's working with the team,
right.
So we always go to Scott with Auburn High sports updates. You mentioned the 11 seniors. Any individual seasons that you think deserve recognition, Scott? You know, it's a it's not, you know, even though today didn't go the way that I think a lot of Auburn High people were hoping. I mean, it's an incredible year, and it continues. You know, a lot of success for this for this Auburn High athletic department after, you know, the great football season ends in the state championship game. Now the basketball teams, both boys and girls, in the Final Four. Name a couple of the key pieces for these teams.
You know, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that, because with these 11 guys, they kind of all took their moments in being big players. You know, Noah Warren, who was a 3-year varsity player for basketball and football, he had 20 points had 17 against Fairhope, and he had the game winner. So Jay Baker had big games all year long for us. Bryson Clegg had big moments. It was the tournament MVP when he had 20 points against Smith Station. You know, Miles Hunt played point guard for us all year long, and he's going to go on to do great things in the academic field as well, and as well as being a great player. It's just, and then on the girls' side, they have three or four players that are graduating from this year's team that basically set the new bar for Auburn High on the girls' side. Auburn had never been to a Final Four, and now they've been to it the last 3 years. That says a lot about this senior class and what they've done. You know, this group, they took over the boys I'm talking about. They came into a varsity program who just missed the playoffs for the first time in about 6 years, and they immediately turned that around to win back-to-back area championships and go to the Final Four. They kind of put Auburn basketball back on the path that they wanted to see it at, and left it in good spots for these juniors to have to take over and try to keep it at the same level going on after this year.
Yeah, a couple of things as to what you were talking about. I don't know that I've seen many high school box scorers that go as deep as what Chris is able to do. I mean, just it's very unusual. It's not just 11 seniors and a lot of them cheerleading. You had a lot of guys that participated and played and helped this year.
Yeah, no, it's 11 seniors that impacted a bunch of games for us all year long. It really the last 2 to 3 weeks, we didn't have to do a lot of motivating or anything like that. These seniors kind of figured it out and kind of, you know, they understood what it meant and they started to steer the ship exactly where we needed it to. They locked in practice and, you know, I got a lot of text messages and everything like that after the Fairhope game when we were able to beat a team that people didn't really think we were going to have an opportunity against because they were 27-1.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we go up there and we did exactly what we wanted to do. And then it got away from us for the last 5 minutes and it goes to overtime. But then, you know, they showed their maturity and answered the bell there and got the win. Got the opportunity to come here to Birmingham and experience the Final Four. And it's probably more special this year because of COVID and because of we didn't know going into the week if the games were going to be played or anything like that. These kids, and it's not just our seniors and our players, it's everywhere across the state, mm-hmm. having to be so resilient and be able to adjust on the fly. It really says a lot about everybody that's having to play in high school athletics this year during all this COVID stuff.
Talking with Scott Bagwell as we wrap things up, Scott, with the season coming to a close. Just a quick thoughts on the on next year, the future.
You know, it's you don't ever want to say rebuilding, but when you lose 11 seniors, there's going to be a lot of shoes to replace for the guys. You know, we had 5 juniors obviously on the team. The B team had a very, very good year. The 9th-grade team had a very, very good year as well. So, you know, there's opportunity available to a lot of talented players going into next year with, you know, obviously big shoes to fill. If we can find a way to win an area championship again, it'll be 3 in a row, which has never been done in school history. So it's a goal to set out there for these kids. And I think in the next couple of weeks, we'll sit down and start figuring out the plan for spring basketball and workouts and everything like that to start working for that goal. And on the girls' side, you know, there's some question marks. The seniors, obviously, that are gone. But, you know, what's going to happen with Olivia Porter? Mm-hmm. She's been here since her 8th-grade year, but her father now is, now at North Carolina. It's going to open it up for Soraya Daniels, you know, the freshman.
Oh, I didn't realize she was just a freshman. Yeah.
Yeah, second year as a varsity player. She started as an 8th-grader. And now just finished her 9th-grade year. So, you know, she can have an opportunity to make a huge step and huge growth in her game going from her 9th to 10th-grade year. And she might have to be the go-to mm-hmm. player next year for the girls team.
Scott, great stuff. We really appreciate you spending a little time with us. Tell Chris that we say congratulations on the season. No, it's a tough way to wrap things up, but what a great year. And really, really enjoyed everything the guys did this year and looking forward to more in the future.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Dan.
All right. Scott Bagwell joining us as the tough day for the Tigers. But, again, making it to the Final Four, there are so many teams in the state that you know.
Look, only
don't get that opportunity only, very
only,
often.
Only one team gets right. to gets to finish their season with a win, right? Like under the format now. Like everyone else, you know, it ends. And so that's look, I understand the disappointment, but that this was a great season for Auburn boys basketball, for Auburn girls basketball, and losing in the Final Four, you know, yeah, maybe you come up a little bit short on what the you know, the top shelf goals were for this program, but that does not I would hope that it doesn't sour anyone on the incredible year they had, much in the same way. And it's look, it's different with football because of the way that game went down. I understand, Bill, but like even in the case of football season, right, you would hope that the ending of the last game doesn't overshadow everything else that you accomplish.
No, hopefully in the long term. I mean, yes, sure, exactly. Sure, the for the short term it's going to be tough, but hopefully long term you go, wow, what a great overall.
Absolutely. Auburn boys basketball, Auburn girls basketball, yeah, hold your heads up high. I mean, outstanding seasons and just a great year.
We need to get to our final break of hour number one. Love for you to join us on the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390, here on the Tuesday Drive.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Final few minutes of hour number one of the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan in the WOW Business Studio. Drew once again at the controls, and Doug Amos from the Max Roundtable. Man, appreciate you driving Absolutely. Over in nasty weather today.
No, man, I want to say this about the beautiful city of Auburn, and it is a gorgeous city. I remember when it used to be just a lazy, small little town, and you could just get from point A to point B, no problem, waved everybody while you're going. It's like
it's
Atlanta
not waves
out
anymore.
There.
Yeah,
I mean, literally, I'm going. I got to Auburn 30 minutes before I got to y'all. It's changed a lot, Bill, in the last 20
it's
years.
Continuing to grow and grow. So, but yeah, man, we're excited to have the Max Roundtable on. For those of us that didn't hear the earlier portion of the show, the Max Roundtable from 11 to 2 with Doug, Charlie Trotman, and I haven't met your
you'll
third.
Like Daryl. Daryl's like one of those. He's kind of like Peck over there, like a walking encyclopedia when it comes to things. You know, he remembers. He can remember, you know, how long the shorts were or what the color of the uniforms were in 1978, but he can't remember what he had for lunch yesterday. That's kind of Daryl.
Well, that's sort of a getting older kind of thing.
I understand.
I do that now. Yeah. I do that often.
Me too.
Awful,
so what's going to happen in about an hour and 10 minutes?
Well, I mean, the odds maker sure like Alabama heavily.
Yeah, that's
you know,
surprising
to me. I just wonder one or two things. Is it... Is Alabama reveling in winning the SEC? It's hard for me to believe they're going to take their eyes off the chance to sweep Auburn after what Auburn's been able to do the last few years.
If you told me that it was a guarantee Sharif Cooper wasn't playing, I would say that line makes sense.
I think that
11 point point spread
they're thinking that he's not going to play.
I absolutely right. I think just the same way that when you thought Sharif Cooper was going to play a week ago, Auburn was a 1 point favorite against Florida, and then the news breaks that Sharif Cooper's out.
Four-point underdogs
instantly. And
if there had been more time, they would have been bigger underdogs.
If that news had broken an hour before tip, it probably would have been 10 at tip-off.
I want to ask you both this. Does this Alabama season seem similar with how it's going and how it looks like it's ending up? Does it seem similar to the Auburn fan and to you two guys of Auburn's 18 season when they lost? They were 4-4 in their last eight. They beat South Carolina here to wrap up the tie for the league title with Tennessee, but literally had shot all the bullets in their gun. You remember they got beat by Alabama in the SEC tournament.
Right.
They didn't play well against Charleston, got smoked by Clemson. I just wonder if Alabama.
They need to get things back on
track. Yeah,
yeah. And that's what I was going to say. I wonder if they're still enjoying the SEC regular season title, but if they can't get things clicking offensively, it could be sort of an ugly ball game this evening. Now, that's what Auburn wants.
There's no doubt, and I think Dan that I think Cooper's going to play, and I think that the head coach of the Auburn Tigers, Bruce Pearl's the best motivator that I know, and I think they're going to come out, and I think I said this on my show today. I think at the under 4 media timeout, we will not know who's going to win the game.
I could see it being close, too. I think if Sharif's healthy and able to produce, I don't think there's a – I mean, I think we saw it when these two teams played at Auburn Arena, right? There's not a huge gulf between
between
these two teams. They both played pretty well in that ball game.
Yeah, they did. That was a fun game.
94-90. Yeah, what a game. Now, I'll say this though, Doug. It's been a rare occasion for Auburn to go into Coleman Coliseum and shoot the ball well. I mean, when you talk to Sonny, you talk to anybody, Auburn just seems to struggle with the background or whatever there at Coleman.
And remember, they 2 years ago, Colin Sexton didn't play, and that came out right before the game, or 3 years ago, right before the game was played, and everybody said, well, Auburn's going to win, and they didn't. They were shorthanded Alabama team beat them.
The one big difference between this year's Alabama team and that Auburn team from 3 years ago was that there was something you could point to with that Auburn team. Anthony McLemore got hurt.
That's correct.
And they weren't the same team after the McLemore injury.
That is correct.
And there was an absence that they missed. You don't have, like, the clean explanation for what happened. And even, you know, Alabama in this downturn, what, a loss at Missouri by 3 and a loss at Arkansas, who looks great.
Well, it's just they've been winning so big. Yeah. And now they're winning, but it's not as big and not as pretty. Doug, we're about out of time, man. We really appreciate you stopping in.
Appreciate
really
it.
Excited about the Max Roundtable.
And we're excited about either one of you appearing with us each week on the show. We love connecting with you guys over here.
We can always help fill time. That's something we're good for.
I'm pretty good at that, too.
Thanks, Doug, man.
Thank you, man.
We need to get to our top of the hour break. Halfway done, Jake Crane from the J-Boy Show joins us at the bottom of next hour. Until then, we're taking your phone calls on the Kia of Auburn hotline here on the Tuesday Drive.
Auburn Network Incorporated. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number 2 of The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Well, the rain appears to be, at least slacking up a little bit. I know it's supposed to rain throughout the night, but that's the way it is. It's a Tuesday. Hopefully, it hasn't messed up your plans too much. But we're all comfy here in the WOW Business Studio.
You get 2 months free on super fast business internet when you switch to WOW. Details at switchtowowbusiness.com.
See what getting his charger back does? Dan, just
what do you mean?
You're just in such a better mood here in hour number 2.
Well, I had to move quickly at the beginning of the show because that thing was if that thing doesn't track that thing.
I know, I
it's
understand.
Happened before.
I've got an iPhone.
It's happened before. If that thing doesn't get tracked down immediately, it's gone. It's gone forever.
Right.
It's gone forever. And it turns out somebody accidentally took it with them leaving the studio.
Well, as though it's
a piece of gum that sticks to the bottom of your shoe.
Maybe he usually has his own charger and at other venues plugs it in, uses it, and has to make sure that he takes it.
Accidents.
I want to be understanding.
Okay. Accidents happen. I understand.
That's right.
If it happens again, more accidents will happen. All right.
Welcome into hour number 2 of The Drive. This hour brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika. On the web at orthoclinic.com. So hour number 2 just getting underway, and we welcome your calls, questions, comments on the Kia of Auburn hotline. That's 334-321-1390.
Special thanks to Doug Amos for coming in an hour number 1.
I hadn't seen Doug in a long time.
Yeah,
you get to see him occasionally. You said like from across the
The arena at Troy?
We used to be when we were allowed to sit courtside in years past. I would see him much more frequently. But now, yeah, we're on opposite sides of Trojan Arena, waving at each other from
afar. So how high up are you in the arena?
I would say I'm on the concourse level, next to the cameras that are shooting for the ESPN broadcast.
Right.
So probably, I would say I'm about 25 rows back of the visitors' bench.
Okay.
And elevated to where I can see from there, and then on the other side, it's at the suite level is mm-hmm. also in that same.
Well, I think that's pretty much what's going on everywhere. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I was able to attend my first Auburn game on Saturday in that big win over Tennessee. And I was wondering, okay, where are Andy and Sonny? It was Andy, Sonny, and Paul. They were on the concourse level up behind the media seating. So they're on the concourse level too, and the corner. Yep. Not even on – are you anywhere near midcourt?
Yes, well, I'm directly behind the visitor's bench.
Okay,
I'm a little bit closer to midcourt. Like, you know, I'm
be a better view than Andy and Sonny have because they're in a corner.
I kind of like it more because when I'm courtside, depending on where they put us, the referees or the head coach for either team can block my view.
Sure.
And it's not as though I can say.
It's not bad to be raised a little.
I can't hit them with the down in front when they're, you know, officiating.
Sure, you can.
Or coaching. Well, they won't listen.
Well, that's right. But you can still do it.
Yeah. So and
the listeners would, I'm sure, really appreciate that.
Yeah.
So, right in the middle of a play.
Yeah. So I actually have disclosed to listeners that I can't see. There's a referee directly in front of me, and I can't see what happened around the ball. But it's I think there are things I like about being further up and being able to take a more whole view of the court. There's also, you know, some things that you miss out on not being right there and being able to overhear conversations.
Sure. You can't get the explanations of exactly what's going on.
Explanations, right. You know, there are different things that I miss. But all told, it hasn't been too difficult for home games.
So basketball tonight coming up in right at an hour from now up at Coleman Coliseum. It's Auburn and Alabama. Alabama 14-2 in the league. They have clinched at least a share. Now they'd have to lose tonight and Saturday against Georgia and have Arkansas win out for there to be a tie. So that's not likely to happen. Auburn playing for pride, trying to finish above 500 because they have a game against Mississippi State at home on Saturday at noon.
Right. Everyone else in the SEC looking towards the postseason and the mm-hmm. SEC tournament in Nashville next week. Auburn wrapping things up this week with tonight's game in Tuscaloosa and then Saturday's home game against the Mississippi State Bulldogs. And from then, now Bruce Pearl has mentioned a couple of times recently, he is excited for the possibility of being able to work with his team following the season, which he didn't get to do last year.
Well, Bruce is always looking at the positive, and the positive is they're going to get to work out in March. You'd rather be playing in March, but, I mean, they haven't been able to work out in March the last 2 years because of making a Final Four run and then COVID.
Right. Last year they didn't get to play or practice in March.
So how many different ways can you not, you know?
Well, this would, you know, we don't let's not find out another.
That's enough.
Let them practice this year. But yeah, we'll have some of that. And that could be with, you know, depending on how this week goes, because let me ask you, Bill. I mean, do you think this week could change the complexion of the Auburn basketball season? Would a win tonight? I mean,
I think a lot of people with a win tonight. Yes, I think a lot of people would be really even more excited than they are. Look. I don't know many Auburn fans that aren't really looking forward to next season, hoping that Sharif Cooper comes back. But you win tonight, and those hopes and expectations are going to be even greater. I think people will be even more fired up about next season if you get a win over an Alabama team that's just won the SEC regular season. I mean, and we were talking about at the end of hour number one, my feeling is that Sharif Cooper plays tonight. I mean, we'll see when he gets out there, if he is out there, I think you'll know pretty quickly if he's going to be effective or not. But just from seeing him moving around with no visible limp at all and getting into the ball game Saturday and being on his feet nearly the entire ball game, and then hearing Bruce Pearl talking about it, even though he didn't practice Sunday, sounded like he was definitely a possibility for practice yesterday. And
Did that change your mind at all as far as what Sharif's decision might be after the season, seeing how involved he was?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it did. Yeah. I felt like he is, and I don't know why I would have ever thought this way. I never felt like he wasn't really a part of the team, but, I mean, I really felt like he was really into what his teammates were doing. I think he is. I think he is genuinely enjoying his time at Auburn, and I think that combined with the fact that right now it doesn't appear that he'd be a lottery pick, I think it surely wouldn't hurt him to come back. It could help him in the long run.
Yeah, I always struggle with my analysis of what, you know, what I think Sharif will or should do, because
sure.
It is, well, no, I mean, it is clouded, like all things. You know, it's sort of clouded a little bit by desire, right? Like,
oh, yes.
I'd love to see Sharif Cooper play another year of college basketball.
I mean, I would love to see a healthy Sharif Cooper with a healthy Justin Powell and a year older JT Thor and Jalen Williams and Devin Cambridge and Jabari Smith added to it. I'd love to see that all-star lineup.
But what's very important to mention in that is that just because you'd love to see it,
right,
doesn't make it the best thing for Sharif Cooper.
Absolutely.
But I mean,
now
that's not to say it's pretty good as a backup plan for Sharif if he decides, you know, not to go into the draft. You know, it seems like he's got, you know, he's been dealt something of a winning hand here no matter what he chooses, because he can either be a first round pick in the NBA draft or he can be the point guard of a team that goes into next year as one of the nation's most talented. But what he should do, you know, has very little, I think, you know, to do with how good Auburn can be next year. I'm not sure that plays too large of a role in his readiness for the NBA draft right now and ultimately the decision he's going to make. But can't hurt that he doesn't seem like someone who, you know, can't wait to get out of here,
right,
and go start the next stage of his career. And I would suggest, too, playing in either of these two games would suggest a level of engagement.
Right. I think a lot of people were saying, well, we won't see him anymore, even if his ankle gets better.
Right. And playing in either of these two games tonight, that's not just, look, don't read too much into it either way.
No.
But playing in either of these two games would suggest that Sharif Cooper is...
he's definitely not opting out to get ready for the draft.
Exactly. That's an excellent way to phrase it.
334-321-1390. Love your thoughts on tonight's matchup. Anything going on in the world of sports. Something I wanted to get to, and I'd love our listeners' thoughts on this. We're seeing more and more states, especially southern states, opening up. Yesterday, the University of Alabama announced, first of all, that its classes will be in person at 100% capacity this fall. And then following that, Greg Byrne said the expectation, the plan for Alabama football is 100% capacity at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Now, the state of Alabama, Kay Ivey, hasn't, you know, opened everything, but we're starting to see that in other states, especially here in the South, as I think the latest is the state of Mississippi, just in the last hour or two, announcing that they are opening venues 100%. And I know Ole Miss and Mississippi State baseball fans are pretty excited about the possibility of full stadiums.
Oh, certainly. I mean, I think we'll watch to see, you know, as the vaccine rolls out and we're seeing, you know, some of the underlying numbers regarding COVID improve. I think that's a natural reaction from some states to open, you know, not just for what we talk about and the you know, capacity at sporting events or limitations on sports related activities, but yeah, I think we're seeing it across the country and in certain states a move towards opening up. I know there are some limitations in Texas, I believe, still with regards to attendance at sporting events. Like, I don't know if you're going to see you know, 100% capacity at the NBA level, you know, the moment, you know, the moment things open back up in Texas. I think there could be some restrictions on large scale events, but no, I think we're moving towards, you know, maybe even rules changing as far as capacity for baseball stadiums by the end of the season, right, Bill?
Yeah. Now the because I was trying to see, I had just seen the headline from Texas where Governor Abbott said that no face mask mandate anymore, all businesses opening at full capacity. I had not seen the caveat about sports.
Let me see if I can find the sporting event thing.
Yeah, let's see. Starting next Wednesday, all businesses will be able to open at 100% capacity. I was just looking to see if I could find the others. While we're looking for that, did you see what Kentucky has passed? The state of Kentucky has passed a law allowing all high school seniors to return for another year of competition if they wish. Now that seems,
what, you can opt in for another year of high school?
High school, yes.
Yeah, I mean,
I hadn't seen that. That's a new one.
Yeah, no, that's. I mean, no, I had not seen that. That's.
I'm trying to let that one sink in.
I mean, if you really want to,
who's going to do that?
Yeah, I had not seen that. I mean, if you really missed your senior year of the sport you play, you know, maybe run it back. I didn't think that would be considered anywhere.
334-321-1390. We'll get to our first break of hour number two. Don't forget Jake Crane from the J Boy Show going to join us at the bottom of the hour. So until then, wide open on the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390. Come on in and join us.
The Drive, or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 17 minutes after 5 o'clock. Bill and Dan here in the WOW Business Studio. And a couple of reports out of Tuscaloosa that Sharif Cooper is dressed out and warming up.
That's right. We're watching with the Auburn Alabama game scheduled to begin right when our show is over at 6 from Coleman Coliseum up in Tuscaloosa. Auburn on the court right now warming up, and yeah, some reports and even a brief video of Sharif Cooper out there going through in uniform and going through going through some drills with his with his teammates. And I believe Nate Oates was asked about it earlier today, and Nate Oates was skeptical that Sharif Cooper wasn't going to play. Actually,
if they didn't prepare as if he were going to play, that would be big mistake.
Yesterday, Nate Oates was told that Bruce Pearl and it was actually, so Bruce Pearl said that Cooper was questionable, and then I guess somebody asked Nate Oates about it yesterday at the press conference. And said doubtful instead of questionable. They misquoted Bruce. And so Nate Oates was asked about, you know, what do you think of Bruce Pearl saying that Sharif Cooper is doubtful? And here's what Nate Oates said, quote, "Doubtful doesn't mean he's not playing. I've used doubtful before, and maybe that kid ends up playing. We're planning on him playing. It's a rivalry game. I'm sure they're putting all their chips in the middle of the table on this one. So I plan on the kid playing. If he doesn't play, we'll figure it out." Unquote. That's Alabama coach Nate Oates discussing how his team is preparing to face an Auburn squad that may or may not have Sharif Cooper. And according to reports right now, it sounds like Sharif is warming up about 45 minutes before tonight's game. So we'll see. We'll see what that means as the game gets closer to tip. But Sharif Cooper in uniform and warming up on the court in Tuscaloosa right now.
Yeah, I mean that doesn't mean he will be able to go, but I felt he would at least give it a shot. We'd love to hear from you, anything you want to talk about sports-wise. And while we were checking things, Texas, the state of Texas, is going to be open 100% for everything. And that was with a capital, all caps, everything from Governor Abbott, including sports stadiums, concerts, and large venues. So Texas is going to be open. Mississippi has announced it's open. Expecting statements from the University of Mississippi and Mississippi State here sometime this evening about their plans. So we will see as things go on. And then I did. I double checked, and the state of Kentucky has indeed passed by a 36-0 vote the ability for high school seniors to stay on and have an extra year of school. That used to be called failing. Back in the day, if you didn't move on from one grade to the next grade or the next level, that used to be a negative. I mean, there were some people that were held back at times because, you know, you feel like let their maturity catch up, with the other students.
Okay,
so it is
related to concerns that students may not be academically ready.
Right.
Like that's okay. So I was worried based on the way you phrased it, Bill. I was worried.
Well, it was written from a sports writer's writing. It's like the sports headline goes, Kentucky senior athletes are going to have an option to get their Van Wilder
right.
next year.
It does offer student athletes a fifth year of eligibility, which would give
right.
players a, and some of that is a response to there were kids counting on this year to play their way into a high school scholarship.
Right.
And they didn't get that opportunity.
And the scholarships are limited just because of all the college players that are returning.
Right. And they keep, you know, the bill is and Kentucky has said, you know, the bill is about opportunity for the sponsoring a state senator in Kentucky. It talks about the opportunity that these kids missed out on that can be, if you can provide that opportunity to them.
They're already having too many senior skip days without it really, you know.
Exactly. If you can provide this opportunity without causing, you know, mass hysteria, it's probably the right thing to do, not only for student athletes, but also for students who.
It's primarily for students. And
yes.
The student athletes come under the ruling.
Right. But if you're not where you are expected to be after the last year of adjusted learning in the face of the pandemic, you know, I think it's and that actually
makes sense. Yeah. I mean, if universities are going to be able to open and have in face instruction right there, you may not be as prepared for that as a high school senior who has had just to have your senior year online.
And that's where, I mean, I would say that staying in high school for an extra year just for a sport, I don't know, maybe not. I don't, you know, that's a decision.
I haven't
for
seen
you.
Many redshirt seniors.
Yeah. I mean,
high school.
If that's a decision, you know, you and your family decide is the best thing for you, you know, I would hope there's a really good reason to stay in high school for another year if you're just doing it to play a sport. Like, I would hope there's something
really
big at stake.
I'm just thinking, you know, Scott Bagwell's counterpart in the state of Kentucky's on the bus on the way back going, hey, maybe we don't have to lose those 11
we'll
seniors.
We'll get them next year.
We'll get some of those guys coming back.
Run it back with the 11 senior team a year later. But that's there is a fairly genuine academic reason for that too. And I wonder if other states will follow suit.
I wouldn't
suit.
Be surprised. Seriously, I mean, because when I first saw it, it's like, man, that's screwy, because it was written just as a sports headline, and I thought, what? They're doing this just for sports? No, they're not doing it for sports. They're doing it for the students. And if you're doing it for all students, then student-athletes have to be included.
I have to imagine seniors would be like the ones that would really want a do-over of another year of high school, right? Because I can't imagine.
Oh, no. It just said seniors. It didn't say for everyone. It's like, oh, look, I've already been a freshman. That's fine. I don't need to be a freshman again.
Yeah, I wasn't dying to
be
that.
I was a junior. I've been dying to be a senior.
Yeah. My second year as a high school freshman was really the hardest, because that's the one that I thought was really the toughest of the
well,
four.
You were like what, 6'5" by then?
Yeah, of the 4 years I spent as a high school freshman, I thought the second one was really the toughest.
It's like Young Rock.
Yeah, they all thought I was an undercover cop, just like Young Rock.
Have you watched that?
I've watched a little bit of Young Rock.
I have
Rock.
Not.
It's very
and it
charming.
Actually, I think it's a little better. I mean, just from a couple of things I've seen, it's probably better than I thought it would be.
It's very charming. It is. It's early on, but no, I actually am surprised. I don't watch very much network comedy, like network scripted comedy.
Right.
You know, it's not my jam at the moment. But I've seen. I saw a couple episodes of I guess the first two that have aired, and I thought it was very funny.
That's good. I'll have to check that.
I haven't seen Keenan's show, but
I haven't either.
I haven't seen Keenan's show, but I've seen Young Rock.
He's really done much better than I ever thought.
He's been way back in the day.
I
think he's the longest reigning SNL cast member.
Oh, it's not even
ever,
close
right?
now.
I think he's, yeah.
And Daryl, I think Daryl Hammond is who he passed.
And that's
right?
after either Daryl Hammond or Tim Meadows. They're both of them were on SNL for a very long time.
Well, you know, Daryl then took over the voice. I mean, he was the
Don Pardo, right? He took over for so Keenan has been
your host.
Keenan Thompson has been on. This has nothing to do with anything we talk about.
That's fine.
But Keenan Thompson was. I mean, he's been on television since 1993,
right?
Because he was on Nickelodeon for
Keenan
7 or 8 years,
man.
Yeah, all that, and Keenan and Kel, and then 20 years on SNL after that. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing considering his age.
Yes,
how long he's been on television, doing sketch comedy and other assorted things, and no sign of slowing down.
No, not at all.
Now he's got a network sitcom. Yeah, I mean that's cool stuff.
Yep. All right, 334-321-1390. Love your thoughts on tonight's matchup, if you would. Again, a reminder that no baseball. Obviously, it should have been going on by now. It was supposed to have started at 4. Auburn-Jacksonville State, they postponed that till April. The Tigers will play Xavier. That's with a silent X, I believe, in a 4-game series this weekend. And meanwhile, Auburn, as we said, Auburn High, having their seasons, both boys and girls, having their seasons come to a close today. Very likely that's going to be the situation for the Auburn University women tomorrow as they take on Florida in the first game of the SEC women's basketball tournament.
It may not just be the end of the season for the Auburn University women.
You're right. I mean, it's going to be very difficult, I would think, for the Coach Flo tenure to continue. If Auburn loses tomorrow, I looked this up, Dan. If Auburn loses tomorrow, Coach Flo will be 48-96 in conference play.
Oh man, I mean that is and with the last 2 years probably, among the worst two teams in program history. Maybe
probably, I don't think there's any question the worst two consecutive years. Yeah. That Auburn women basketball is
and I believe if she were to lose tomorrow, it would be 18 consecutive losses against SEC teams dating back to last year.
Yeah, I think that's right.
This would be her 16th. This would be the 16th loss to an SEC team this year. Mm-hmm. And I think they lost two or three to wrap things up last year. So a long losing streak just against SEC teams. And yeah, it looks like a season that's going to end tomorrow.
Yeah, it's really a shame. Auburn women's basketball. I mean, it's hard for some people to realize how good they were, playing in three consecutive championship games.
Right.
Now, I'm not talking SEC. Champion.
And this could be for Allen Green, it's going to be the next. I mean, he's had to hire one coach in among the marquee sports. Allen Green has hired one coach since taking over as Auburn AD, and that was Brian Harsin a few months ago. Looks like not all that much, not too much longer after the Harsin hire, Allen Green's going to have another pretty significant decision to make.
334-321-1390. No, the ex Floyd, the ex Mitt. I'm not saying ex Xavier. I was just doing that. That was a sort of a smart comment. Floyd's like, if it's a silent X, wouldn't it be Avier? Yeah. Some people don't know how X is supposed to sound.
We're gonna talk with Jake Crane in the next
segment. Yes, we will,
right?
From the J-Boy Show. He's joining us. We'd love for you to as well. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
On ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the WOW Business Studio. Drew once again at the controls. And it's Tuesday afternoon, 5:30. That means it's time for our weekly visit, and we're pleased once again that he's joining us. It's Jake Crane from the J-Boy Show here on the Tuesday Drive. Hey, Jake, how you doing, man?
Hey, guys, how's it going? Doing well, getting ready to watch this Iron Bowl on the hardwood, and always appreciate coming on and being able to talk with y'all.
Yeah, I mean, gonna be interesting to see if Sharif Cooper can indeed go. He's apparently trying, you know, warming up there in the pregame.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously a big deal. It's like I say, when he's on the court, it looks a little more like a Monet, and when he's not, it looks like a four-year-old stole some crayons and drew all over the bathroom wall.
A little more Picasso-ish.
Though Auburn, I thought, played as well, better than I could have expected this past Saturday against Tennessee.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you got to start with Jamal Johnson. I mean, running the point, I mean, he played so well that I think Bruce Pearl's like, hey, we may have found a little depth at the point guard position. And if Sharif wasn't able to go or isn't able to go, even though he's warming up, I wouldn't be surprised to see Jamal run the point. But I think you're going to see him run it a lot when Sharif's out. And again, you know, I love the videos that the Auburn basketball program puts out. You saw Bruce Pearl. He was getting after him in the pregame, challenging him, asking him who wants to be a man. You know, who's going to step up when it's going good? Who's going to step up when it's going bad? And they answered. You saw guys like, I thought Flanagan played a lot better. He stopped pressing as much. He's still turning the ball over too much. But you saw JT Thor, who just continues to show flashes of being an absolute monster. And Tennessee's got some veteran guys on that team. And Auburn just decided that they were better than them, and they, when they walked in the school, they were going to shove them in the locker, and that's how they need to play. They need to play free. They need to play fun, but they need to play smart defensively and give an unbelievable effort on the offensive and defensive glass, and that's how you win these games.
Yeah, the Jamal Johnson thing is really interesting because I wonder if it was bigger than just a big performance in a moment when Auburn needed Jamal Johnson to play well. Like you said, Jake, I wonder if this is something, you know, when they go into the off season and they have to figure out roster management and what next year's team should be like, is Jamal Johnson going to handle more point guard duties, or was Saturday, you know, sort of a in case of emergency situation?
Well, you know, Bruce Pearl said it himself. You know, I think he can give us some depth at that position. I think you hit the nail on the head, Dan. Because, again, you know, there will be no postseason with what Auburn has going on. And you look at the roster and the talent and the youth, especially if Sharif Cooper comes back, which I think he will. The roster spots are going to be slim. You add Jabari Smith Jr., who's absolutely going to be on the court, and Trey Alexander, a guy who I think is going to provide great depth at the two that they can move around a little bit as well. So if you're one of those guys that's on the fringe, you know, Jamal Johnson, Javon Franklin, a couple others, you need to show your worth because that team they have coming back next year is going to be ready to wreck shop and will be the most talented basketball team, especially if Sharif comes back, that Auburn has ever had, and I don't think it's even close.
That's a great point, Jake. I mean, if Jamal can indeed be somebody who can give you at least some stretches of solid play at the point, then you don't have to worry about finding somebody else to bring in if Sharif comes back. I think that's a great way to look at it. I tell you what, though, I think you'll have a better idea tonight because Alabama's going to get after them more pressure-wise than Tennessee did. And I was a little surprised. Tennessee really didn't try to pressure the ball a little bit more than they did the other day.
Yeah, I was shocked. You saw at the end when they started pressing.
Yep.
Especially Auburn without Sharif Cooper. You know, if it's me, it's going to be the old Mike Anderson 40 minutes of hell trying to let you get the ball up the court. But I was surprised Tennessee didn't go to it. I wonder, you know, I'm kind of caught in between here, to be honest with you, Bill. When I look at this game, Alabama just wrapped up the regular season. Not saying they won't play hard, but if you press and you do stuff like that, it is kind of out of your element. You're going to get guys to do things that they're not used to. I wonder if that's something that they'll do if they don't think they can just beat Auburn straight up. But the key to me for Auburn, they're going to have to shoot the three well. And mm-hmm. I know everybody says that, but Alabama's going to shoot well at home pretty much. I'd be surprised if they didn't. But if I'm Auburn, I'm Bruce Pearl. I'm trying to turn this into a rock fight. I don't think you're going to win a track meet with these guys at home. Because, again, you know, even though they did wrap up the regular season, it is the Iron Bowl on the hardwood, and we know that Alabama's trying to change the narrative a little bit when it comes to basketball in the state. But I think Auburn's got to make this thing ugly. I'd love to see Dylan Cardwell the first time Herb Jones or somebody takes it to the rack or stretch one of them, send them into the second row and let them know that that's not going to work tonight. You can have your free throws. But Auburn needs to make it ugly. They need to make it physical. And I don't think they need to turn it into a track meet. Sharif can dial people up from the sets they run. JT Thor's got to step up, and Alan Flanagan has got to find ways to drive, not just on the left side, because Alabama's going to corner him
on the right side and try and trap him and make him throw out of it. And I think that's going to be a big part of the night.
Yeah, what I would worry about is if Sharif is not in, not able to go, or when he's not in there, is Herb Jones really being, when I'm talking pressure, I'm not so much talking about full court pressure. I'm talking about on the point. Herb Jones or somebody with the hands always, messing with Jamal or whoever's running the point if Sharif's not in there.
No, that's a great point. And I was really kind of referring back to the Tennessee game when they pressed late full mm-hmm. court because they had to. We know Auburn turned the ball over a couple times. But you're right. I mean, you look at what Arkansas did to Sharif, kind of surprised them with that double team. A lot of people took what Musselman did and abused it. And I wouldn't be surprised if you saw it, Bill. I wonder if Nate Oates is going to try and feel Auburn out to see if they're in a rhythm offensively shooting, if they look clean, if they're able to get into their sets, if they're able to get into transition. And if Auburn's scoring early, I wouldn't be surprised to see Nate Oates go to that. I think it's a great point. Now, my question is, when Jamal Johnson is in there, the biggest thing he has to do, and I think this is something Bruce Pearl tells him, you don't have to be Sharif Cooper. Jamal Johnson does not need to be making no-look passes or try and do crazy things. Like you said, he's got to protect the ball. I wouldn't be surprised to see Alabama double him or try and trap him early. But, again, it's going to be very interesting to see how Nate Oates plays Auburn. But if you're Auburn, what do you got to lose, Bill? Dan, you got nothing to lose. You got two games left. You could get a big boost going into the summer because they're coming. I'm telling you, 2021, they're coming war ready, and it's going to be pretty interesting.
Talking with Jake Crane from the J-Boy Show here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Yeah, looking forward to tonight's Auburn-Alabama basketball game up in Coleman. And Jake, we do love talking football with you when we get the opportunity. Not a ton of news out of the Auburn program, although today some familiar names announcing they're going to go reunite with Gus Malzahn.
No kidding, man. It is a reunion down there as Big Cat Bryant, the latest. Well, I guess and Ross Newton leaving to be the assistant to the head coach down there.
When did the Nate Craig Myers news break? Was that
yesterday?
That was yesterday. So in the last few days, I mean, and Mark Anthony Richards as well,
right?
Announcing, I mean,
Cam Martin's going to be on the staff.
I mean, yeah, some familiar names. Not all that surprising with Gus Malzahn at UCF.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't surprise me. Cat Bryant transferring over there, you know, good for Cam Martin and good for Ross Newton. I mean, if you're Brian Harsin, heck yeah, you want a guy that's going from being a walk-on coordinator and stuff like that to being the associate to the head coach, assistant to the head coach. I'm sure that was a big pay raise, and that's good for him and a good business decision for him and his family. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I watched those guys on that team last year, you know, outside of Cam Martin. Mark Anthony Richards, I think, had a chance to be a good player. Just it was kind of weird because the thing was, well, you know, we couldn't learn the playbook, and he was struggling with Gus Malzahn, and then he goes down there to play with him again.
Right.
I guess we'll see how that is. But, you know, it's a fresh start for Cat Bryant. I know he had an ankle early, but he's got to develop some pass rush moves, and he'll look good against those tackles from Houston and some of those other places. But, you know, deep down, the scouts are going to remember what you did in the SEC, and you're going to have to prove yourself, probably try and get an invite to the Senior Bowl. But again, you know, good for him. Hopefully it's a fresh start. And look, if you're Brian Harsin, you want people that want to be here. You want people that when they put on that jersey, whether it's home or away, they expect to win. They're not there for Instagram pictures. They're not there for anything else other than to line up and try and beat somebody across the ball. And you look at some of the young guys they have. You know, I'll tell you right now, I'll take three Colby Woodens over four Cat Bryant. And, you know, I hope he does well. No ill will. But you want guys that want to be there, and that's been the difference, I think, a little bit in the past few years. And you keep seeing a word that gets tweeted out from the Auburn football account, and that's tough, and it's discipline, and it's guys showing up to stuff on time and doing the stuff that you're supposed to do, the hard stuff, because the price goes up every day. And if you're not willing to pay the price, you're not going to beat Alabama, you're not going to beat Georgia. I don't care how friendly you are with the head coach. That's great and all that stuff. But you're paid to win games. You're paid to build men and build programs. And look, Gus Malzahn's a great guy, had a great relationship with the players. But you come to Auburn to beat Alabama and Georgia, and you don't show up hoping to win. You show up expecting to win. And those are the guys that you want on 4th-and-1 and you want in the foxhole with you. And that's the difference. And I know Brian Harsin will take his troops over any of them right now.
When Harsin and folks associated with him tweet out that sort of stuff, though, Jake, I mean, do you think they're trying to draw a comparison between now and the way things used to be, or are they continuing to do stuff that worked for Brian Harsin at Boise State?
Yeah, no. I don't think they look back because it does no good. And what I mean by that, I'm not saying that Gus Malzahn didn't want his guys to be tough, but I look at what happened on the line of scrimmage. I mean, we can say all this, but go turn the tape on, and, you know, you're watching Auburn guys get bent backwards in the line of scrimmage against Georgia, Tennessee, you know, or excuse me, Georgia and Alabama, and really Tennessee, to be honest with you. If they'd have kept running insert and didn't let Gorenton or whoever throw the ball, they probably would have won the game. But what I think he's doing is laying a foundation and using those words and those phrases. And some people will think it's cliche or whatever, but he wants everybody to know, and I don't want to speak for Brian Harsin, but just looking at it and having been behind the scenes with it, he wants everybody to know that Auburn is getting back to when you play against Auburn, you better get ready for a fist fight in the trenches. When you play against Auburn, when they hit you, they're going to feel you, and they're going to get right back up and do it again and again and again. It's that toughness mindset. It's not the Instagram mindset. And I think he wants to make sure everybody knows, whether you're on the team or you're a fan of the team, that they may struggle in a few games this year. It may not look pretty due to some personnel at some spots, but they will not give up, and they will fight you tooth and nail until the end, and you set that precedent early, because there's an old saying, Bill and Dan, you can always start hard and go easier, but you can never start easier and get harder. And that's what he's doing. You look at what he's doing in the weight room, in there lifting with the guys, earning their respect and saying, listen, if I'm going to ask you to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be the guy that's here first. I'm going to leave last. And he don't have to do it, but that's the type of guy he is. So I think Auburn's going to get back to being tough, to being physical, to being disciplined, to not making excuses, to not saying that 6-4 is solid, because we're reaching for something higher than that. And you know what? I applaud him for it, and I think it's going to work.
Jake Crane from the J-Boy Show with us, as he is every Tuesday afternoon. And yeah, you know, to what Dan was asking there, go back and check Brian Harsin's Twitter over history. And this is not something that he's decided to change and put on for Auburn. That's Brian Harsin being Brian
Harsin.
This
isn't a phase. This is not a phase for Brian Harsin.
Well, yeah, it's real. Real recognizes real. And he's not – look, the man's 69-19 as a head coach. Why would you change that? You look at the games he's won, the conference championships he's won, the big-time play calls he's made in big-time situations, and he's not going to change what has made him successful. And what has made him successful is being consistent, being tough, asking for guys to deliver not only on the field but off the field, and holding guys accountable. I think that's something that he is really going to bring, that I don't care if you're Tank Bigsby or if you're the fourth-string wide receiver. We're going to treat everybody the same. You're going to be tough. Everybody's going to respect everybody on that field, and you're right, that's who he is, and I don't expect him to change that anytime soon, and that's how it should be, and that's the way football should be played, especially in the Southeastern Conference, and especially in that 3-3-4 area code.
Jake, great stuff as always, man. We really, really love getting to spend a little time with you every week. Let everybody know about the J-Boy Show, some of the highlights of the recent past, and maybe a tease as to what's coming up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I appreciate it, guys. Remember, you can check us out on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We got a brand new YouTube channel, the J-Boy Show on YouTube. Go subscribe. We had four-star Riley Quick, one of the top offensive tackles in the country today on the show, actually named Auburn his leader, so I would go check that out. You know, we're rolling out episodes pretty much every day. Got some more big ones. Tony Barnhart tomorrow. Just had Joe Lenardi. Got some big ones coming down the pipe, some coaches. Go check out Hugh Freeze as well in the Pat Dye Jr. episode. But got a lot of big stuff coming. Even John Parker Wilson's coming on. I know everybody that's listening is really excited about that one. But it's amazing the stuff that he delves into, and really talking about the respect between the players in the Iron Bowl. And I think it's something, if you're a football fan, you'll enjoy. But I really did it. We got brand new merchandise out too, so check us out at thejboyshow.com.
Great stuff, and a great lineup of guests. Always just fabulous stuff, Jake. Man, thanks a lot. Have a great rest of the week.
Always. Y'all are the best. I appreciate it. Good luck to you, and about to watch some hoops.
All right, yeah. Well, there are quite a few of us that are planning on doing that in just a few. Got to get to our final break of the afternoon. Back to wind things down. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
My joints aren't what they used to be.
The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of the Tuesday Drive with Bill and Dan, 334-321-1390. And let's get to the phone, and Clay is up next in Montgomery. Hey, Clay.
Hey, Bill, good to talk to you, my man. I tell you what, I've been listening to you. I don't want to date you too much, but I was a young fella.
So was I.
When I you were down here. I have a T-shirt with you and Jim Fife.
Oh, man. I think I saved one of those. Those things are relics. Yeah. I got mine from the ceiling of the supper club when it closed.
Yeah, but anyhow, it's been so good with y'all being the sister station with Doug and them down here, and it's just great to listen to y'all. And how are you doing?
I lost you there at the end. What was the question you just asked?
I said, how are y'all doing today?
Oh man, we're doing fine.
Yeah. Some basketball coming, and you know, right when the show's over. Tuesdays and Wednesdays are great, right? I mean, you get the SEC basketball, you know, after the show, and yeah, I mean, it's the weather could be a little nicer.
That's right.
Yeah, I kind of miss the old days when we always played on Wednesday and Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday. That just I'm stuck in my ways, I guess. But earlier. Well, one thing, if you'll give me just a second here, and I'm sure y'all have mentioned it, can I give a shout-out to Trace Bright from right here in Montgomery?
Oh, absolutely. What a great performance. He was the, pun intended, bright spot for Auburn over the weekend.
I'll tell you, that is so impressive for that kid, and he actually kind of be kind of kin to me. So I really have my chest peaked out. But for him to make all-tournament as a half-freshman, I guess you would call him. That was very impressive. I'm so proud of that kid. He had a great week.
Oh, he did. I mean, SEC Freshman of the Week, and then Texas A&M had scored 20 runs in their last two games before he shut them down.
I'm telling you, that's without strikeouts, because, I mean, he's a strikeout pitcher, and to have only one strikeout, give up one hit, hit six, no score innings, that's promising for him. And the other thing, and I don't want to bang on people. And I love Coach Flo as a person, but it's time for Flo to go. I mean, what I grew up with, I'm 48 years old, and what I grew up with Auburn's women's basketball, it's like it didn't even exist where, you know, we were as a program at one time. And there's a wonderful coach down at Troy University right now that would probably walk to Auburn to take that job. And if Alan Green was listening, Jan Lipsky would probably answer the call if Auburn called her and gave her a call.
And, of course, Dan is the play-by-play voice for Troy women's basketball.
She has turned a program. That program down there was as bad as Auburn's program is right now, and she has made that a really, really – dad blame good program down there. So if you're listening there, Mr. Green.
Yeah, I'm a little bit conflicted about, you know what I mean, like in my multiple roles, not only as Troy's radio play-by-play guy, but also doing this show. You know, I'm conflicted about, you know, lobbying too hard for Coach Rigby to leave for the Auburn job. But I will say that the job she's done at Troy is truly incredible, and I have been so impressed. It's been an honor and a privilege getting to call her team's games, getting to know her personally. Her husband is Ed Rigby, the coach of Eufaula High School's football team, as a matter of fact, and he's a great guy too. And yeah, the job she's done is remarkable, and any school would be lucky to have Shanda Rigby coaching their basketball team.
Clay, it's great hearing from you. Don't be a stranger. Call back anytime. We are out of time here on the Tuesday Drive. It's been fun. Doug Amos with us for the first hour. Of course, Jake Crane joining us here in hour number two. We'll be back tomorrow and definitely looking back at the basketball game, which is about to get started up at Coleman Coliseum. Talk about that and much more. Jason Caldwell joins us when we get underway tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Hope you will as well. But that's going to wrap things up for the Tuesday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.